WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
The week that was and wasn't, weather and fishing wise. Hey man, you're inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Week of June 12th and 13th. Man, was it a scramble this past week or what? Blistering temperatures and humidity, that storm Tuesday night, put the kibosh on everything. But still some fish were being caught in and around the thunderstorms and the winds that would kick up out of nowhere. Still some damn good fluke fishing going on in the bays, tidal rivers, and in the inlets. Some along the beach, as a matter of fact, are being caught. My reports anywhere going from Barnegat Light down to Cape May, but in the back is where it's at. Some weak fish at night as well was really, really been hot, though. That Atlantic City area still is on fire. Not a bonfire flame, but still enough to roast a couple of weenies there. Shout out to Noel at One Stop Bait and Tackle for some information. Give him a call or check his Facebook page, man. Things are up. Hey, some saving grace there, though. The freshwater scene. I'm seeing some bass 4, 5, 6 pounds caught. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. In the weeds. Oh, yeah. Frogs on top. Nice crappies. Nice yellow perch. Some white perch around the tidal creeks. Egg Harbor River has some nice white perch. I'd say 3/4 of a pound. Find them. You got them. Get some bloodworms. You can get some. Find some grass shrimp. Ooh, man. That is still hot this time of year. We like to use a little spinnerbait clip. The little piece of bloodworm on there and a jig, and that will get it done. Hey, coming up in our next two segments, Captain Al Credelli on the Bayhound. I know the talk of tuna. Ooh, last Sunday, what was it? There had to be 3 million boats out there around the Reeser, the Atlantic Princess, the Triple Rex area. Bluefin, thick as thieves, 25 to 30 feet down. Hoo-hoo, and they would not bite. Now, we got some ugly weather today, tomorrow, Monday. Thinking next week. Maybe Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, that bluefin tuna bite should turn on. If you have the means, get down to those southern canyons because the tilefish, the goldens especially, are going crazy. Man, it's if you like to eat tilefish like I do, it is worth the ride. And we're hearing some big guys down here. Oh, it was the Toms, the Baltimore, the Wilmington, southern end of the Toms especially. So there's plenty of fish out there and some big eyes and yellowfin. Big eyes and yellowfin. We shall see. Okay, grab that cup, grab that rebel. Be right back. Coming up, Captain Al Credelli III, Bayhound Charters, Threshers, and Makos. Getting it done. Rack and Fin Radio.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5 FM and 1450 AM. South Jersey's talk station.
On some models excludes Corvette with GM financing, excludes prior sales. See dealer for details.
As you know, most car dealers in our area are still having trouble getting cars and charging a lot more for them.
But Bennett Chevy isn't like most dealers. We kept what you love, our famous GM supplier employee prices.
It's incredible. You pay what our supplier employees pay and not one penny more. And Bennett also gives you all the rebates. That's up to 25% off MSRP. 25% off.
Plus, we've still got available 0% financing to save you even more.
Shopping for pre-owned?
Well, Bennett's still paying a minimum $7,000 for trades.
So if any old junker's worth at least $7,000 towards any pre-owned in stock,
think of how much your good trade is worth.
And Bennett's now an authorized lease return center for all brands. And with our non-commissioned sales staff paid on your satisfaction, not how much you spend,
there's no pressure, no hassles.
The best prices, low rates, the most for trades. Nobody beats Bennett. Find new roads at Bennett Chevy, Egg Harbor Township, and BennettChevy.com.
Download Rack and Fin Radio as a podcast on the WPG Talk Radio app. Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Now we know what's going on. Fluke season going crazy, a.k.a. summer flounder down here in South Jersey land. And now the bluefin tuna. Now hopefully get a report on that. Now we're going to have some gnarly weather coming up these next few days. Who knows what's going to happen next week. What about, it's going by. It's going by so fast. Already it's going into the second week of June. Shark season. Primarily thresher and mako. Two prime species, thresher in close. You don't have to go far out to the canyon. You don't have to go mid-range. One of my lovely DeMarie's biggest threshers, 236 pounds, was within a mile of the beach. Wow, so join us on the line right now to get some thresher info, get some mako info, and more importantly, the most important thing in the shark situation, the end game, is Captain Al Credelli, Bayhound Charters. Captain Al is based in Seattle, been on the water 32 years. a licensed captain. Captain Al, thanks for joining us today. Blah, blah. How are you?
Hey, Tom, how are you? Pleasure to be here, brother.
Al Shark time! Now, some Makos I've been getting caught. Favorites. I mean, some Threshers I've been getting caught. Hearing some Makos. Guys heading out to the canyons now. It's not going to be nice out there, I'd say, next few days, Al. But I want to get into the Thresher game, follow with the Mako game. And, Al, as you mentioned off the air, very important, Tommy P, it is the end game with these two species. Okay, the most important part of it, listeners, is at when they are at boat side. Al, let's talk Thresher first. To meet every man's shark. Even more so than blue dogs, because they can be caught in close. They fight like hell. They breach. They do jump, and they taste great, crew. But it's not easy to get a thresher to whack that bait. Is it true?
This is true. They're definitely an inshore shark. You know, they're an inshore pelagic, if you will, and they can be caught, as you said. They've been seen in the surf this year already, yeah. Chasing the bunker, and actually. There was video of one beach itself on Whale Beach in Strathmere, I believe last week.
Whoa!
But that being said, they can also be caught almost after the 30 fathom line. So they got quite a range. But inshore tactics for those are basically to fish around the bait schools. Very, very simple, very similar to what a lot of guys do for stroivers. Snag and drop the bunker or present a smaller bait, behind the bunker school. Coincide that with good structure, even if there's not bait there when you arrive on scene, there's a good chance it could show up.
Al, location, location, location. You mentioned structure. You have to know. I mean, these things can pop up anywhere. Al, I realize that as you mentioned, as per the location of the bunker schools, but are there prime areas that you target? Now I know you charter big time for sharks that you target for. These, I guess they call them sickle tails.
Yes. Although, like we said, they can be caught close to the beach. It's not my starting point, obviously.
Uh-huh.
using your daily knowledge, being out every day or getting good info from the dock is from people that that have been out fishing is very important. But, bait of all kinds. We talk about bunker for the thrushers, but they also enjoy sand eels are one of their favorite things. They get down the bottom with those sand eels, and the reason why I'm bringing them up is because they have been very there's been quite a few sand eels all up and down our coast for the last couple of years, all sizes, and the best place to start for them would be a mid-range area, and I would say 8 to 10 miles where there's bait fish seen. If there's bunker and sand eels in the area, that much better. But one or the other is a good starting location. Also, when you find the bait schools, you want to look for thresher sharks' telltale sign are slicks on top of the water, because they use their tail to disable and hurt their bait before they turn back around to eat it. Mm-hmm. And doing this, it attracts other fish there, which are chewing on it too. But them themselves are also, whether it be sand eels, bunker, or even herring, all that's going to have an oil, which everybody knows the oil is going to raise to the top.
Mm-hmm,
so if
mm-hmm.
you're in an area where a slick shows, even if the slick is not in your slick, say that you put out for the, for the sharks, that's a good indication that there's one feeding in the area. Important also for a thresher, heavy wire and cable is not necessary. As necessary as with Makos. Their teeth, they do have teeth. Don't misunderstand what I'm trying to say, guys. They certainly have teeth, but they also have very good eyesight. And because they're in shallow water, it tends to be a little, a little clearer. Mono rigs with the circle hooks that you have to use these days is a devastating way to catch them. And I mean, pin a nice squid, carefully put down on the bottom, squid rig, double egg sinker, whatever you need to hold the bottom that day, because threshers do spend an enormous part of their time feeding on the bottom. So, stagger your shark baits normally, but always have one on the bottom when you're thresher fishing. Carefully, it will be harassed. It'll be harassed by other fish, sea bass, things like that as you drift over areas. But that could work out in your benefit too. If you happen to catch a big sea bass when you're drifting a thresher line, have a go back and look.
Al, let me ask you a question. Is the species, the threshers now, They're listeners are so unique. What, Al, they're You're a scientist of the species you chase, Al. I always marvel at. I said, does this guy have a master's in fisheries or what? The tail on those things is about half their body length proper, correct?
It is almost exactly to the body length, almost exactly.
Now, are they loners or will they travel in pairs?
Oh, no. All sharks of certain age and sizes make their down, will congregate. That's proven an obvious point. But I have run into more large threshers in one area because they do tend to feed. If you found the right area where the bait we mentioned is located, there'll be more than one in the vicinity. And where bigger Makos tend to be loners. I've hooked three large threshers, large, in not only one day, in one morning a couple years ago. Yeah. Unfortunately, I mean, look at it, first couple got away and we were solid on the third. But, so we got redemption. But, it is totally possible to get multiple bites. So I've had two thresher bites at once.
Wow.
Before. Yeah, we need a whole other show to talk about that one.
Yeah, listeners, join us on the line. It's Captain Al Cardelli, skipper Bayhound Charters. We're talking threshers, we're talking Makos, and more importantly, the end game. But, Al, with the threshers, royally rolling surface preferred, a glass com, what's the dealio?
Now, any kind of fishing, Tom, unfortunately, for the calmest days are the most comfortable days for the anglers on the boat or on the water that day. Not always conducive to the best fishing. If it's slick calm and there's no drift, you're not going to cover the ground necessary that you need if you don't stop right on top of one. If you don't start right, stop in the vicinity where a shark comes right away. If you're not drifting, you're not going to put the slick out that you desire. That tends to be a problem. And also, bright bluebird days, as with any other kind of fishing, aren't exactly the best either.
Right.
Other than, say for fluke fishing, for shark fishing, your dark, choppy, breezy days, unfortunately, folks are all the way to go. That goes with a lot of the pelagic fishing. Tuna fishing, as you all know, slick calm days for that is dismal also sometimes. So, right. That'd be my preference versus a slick calm day.
Now, before we get to the Makos, the take of a thresher, I've seen the little tap tap, and then I've seen the rods go down. What can you expect out there?
If there's more than one, the most aggressive shark is one that's competing with another, and this goes with any species that you're targeting. But once one shark can be in your slick for hours before it decides that it wants to eat one of your baits, which could, when it does want to eat a bait, then a thresher will use its tail. Sometimes it'll be a subtle tap. Sometimes it'll actually get wrapped up for a second. We have snagged quite a few over the years because they do use the tail.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as another one shows up, as soon as another shark shows up, or if there's a little competition, it doesn't even have to be a shark, I believe. It could be bluefish or anything. The bite will be more of a classic type of a Mako bite where, you'll just get a bounce, a line slack, and then it'll take off. Although threshers can and have, they do clear the water on some jumps, they're more prone to do breaching. Similar to a blue marlin type jump, not an airborne straight always up and down like a Mako does. Although I have seen them do it, but they're more prone to a longer run, which is important for the captain to, another thing we need to talk about too is starting the boat, but it's very important for the captain to pay attention because the thresher can change with his tail. He's got an enormous rudder. He can change his direction on his whim.
Oh, yeah.
And if you're not paying attention, he's under your boat or around. And, it's very important for the captain to have his one and only job is to maintain, to keep the boat moving while you're fighting this fish, especially with the circle hooks. Mm-hmm. I've gone to, this will be for both threshers or Makos. I have gone to starting the boat, no matter what the bite is, the first bite I get, the first nibble on the rod, I start the boat. Because I know that with the circle hook, we have to keep it tight. I know that, keeping it tight and keeping an eye on the fish, as I just mentioned, is very important, to getting them to the boat. So, you're very, very important that you pay attention to what's going on.
Okay, Captain Al, we're up against a hard break. We get back. Let's touch on the Makos. Absolutely a fantastic game fish. And then, listen, the most important thing, the end game. So, Al, hang in, okay?
Yes, sir.
Okay, we'll be right back. Rack and Fin Radio, Captain Al Crudelli, Bayhound. We're talking threshers. We're talking Makos and the ultimate end game. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
If you're wondering what to do with your money in these unusual economic times, or if you have questions about retirement planning, IRAs, 401ks, or taxes, then listen to The Heart of Your Money, Saturday morning at 8 on WPG, featuring author and financial expert Joe Yakovich. The Heart of Your Money will focus on you, your family, and your financial portfolio. The Heart of Your Money with Joe Yakovich, Saturday morning at 8 on WPG. Talk Radio 95.5.
Escape to the Jersey Cape for sun, fun-filled days, and exciting nights. With 30 miles of pristine beaches from Ocean City to Cape May, there is plenty of room to stretch out and enjoy the cool ocean breezes and gentle surf. Boardwalks, amusement piers, casual dining, and shopping have been family favorites for generations. Pack up the kids and spend a day, a week, or more in the number one vacation destination in New Jersey. Visit our award-winning free zoo, bike or stroll one of the many county parks, or walk one of the nature trails to appreciate the great outdoors. Evenings offer fine dining, dancing, wineries, breweries, distilleries, and shopping. No matter how you spend your days at the Jersey Cape, there is something to do for everyone. We missed you. Come and escape to the Jersey Cape. You deserve it. Come to rekindle old memories or make new memories. Memories that will forever be souvenirs of the soul. EscapeToTheJerseyCape.com. Brought to you by the Cape May County Department of Tourism.
Hi, this is Blaze from Circle Hyundai, and it's our Circle Hyundai Friends and Family Discount. We have plenty of new Hyundais in inventory.
From the all-electric 2021 Hyundai Kona EV Ultimate to the 2021 Hyundai Palisade Limited All-Wheel Drive, every vehicle qualifies for Friends and Family Discount.
Dude, did you know it's Circle Hyundai's Friends and Family Discount on any new Hyundai in stock?
Yes, it's awesome, and we have hundreds of Hyundais ready for immediate delivery only here at Circle Hyundai in Shrewsbury.
All Circle Hyundais are backed by America's best warranty, 10-year, 100,000-mile limited power train warranty and Hyundai Assurance, and you get the Circle Hyundai Friends and Family Discount.
Remember, it's our Circle Hyundai Friends and Family Discount. We have plenty of new Hyundais to choose from.
Go to CircleHyundai.com, check out our huge inventory, see for yourself, or visit us here in Shrewsbury.
Be a part of the Circle Hyundai family, where we're making our mark one customer at a time by giving you the Friends and Family Discount.
I'm Kevin. Come join the Circle family.
I'm Craig. Now don't forget the Friends and Family Discount.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Yeah, back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of June 12th and 13th. Joining us on the line, a very special guest, Captain Al Crudelli III, Bayhound Charters. 32 years a captain out of Sea Isle. We're talking threshers, and now we're going to just jump on some Makos. Captain Al, what do you... A little temp, is it the temperature? Is it just, I don't know, the seas? What's... Not hearing much on the Mako bite yet, and they should be here.
Yeah, I believe they're here. As I said earlier, they're bigger Makos. They tend to be more of a loner, and they also tend to like a little cooler water. But I think the big detriment has been the weather the last couple of weeks. The inability of guys to get out to where they're at. Wherever those small blue fins that everybody's catching right now, or not everyone, but that are starting to show on, that's where Mako will be. A couple of my offshore wreck fishing trips lately, I've caught a few bluefish, the 4 to 8 pound bluefish, and that's also, Mako candy.
Prime Mako food, oh yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, in those areas, are where you're going to want to see them, but again, I know they're there, the water temperature's right, it's just that more than anything, people are targeting tuna. I mean, although Makos will certainly bite trolling, we've caught more than our share over the years, it's not the preferred method. I mean, certain guys are really good at trolling for Makos, so I misspoke there. But as far as setting up a drift and that kind of fishing, most guys have been trying to catch a few tunas, and most guys, unfortunately, had to stay home. I mean, everybody knows what kind of weather we had the last couple of weekends. So that's not going to bring in a lot of reports.
Well, Al, are the Makos structure oriented? You know, they follow the schools of bacon, they follow the bluefish, all that good stuff. Are they prone to hang around structure more than, say, a thresher or a blue dog?
No. They're all, the idea with structure is not just structure doesn't just attract your game fish or your targeted species. The structure attracts the bait.
Right, that's what I mean. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, so, I mean, it doesn't really matter where, you know, where you're fishing or for what type, you know, sharks are going to be where there's food. There's no question about that. And, you know, so as I said earlier, I started to say, when as you're riding along, when you finally get to your determined area where you think you want to start, you know, besides watercolor and things like that that you like, you want to see clear. I mean, I'd really like to see a change, you know, not necessarily dirty against clear, but cleaner against clean, even cleaner, a darker blue, or, you know, don't forget, color changes are a type of structure also, Tom. They're definitely,
exactly right.
You know, they're definitely, a source of attraction. So, you pay attention to that. But if you're riding into your area that you tend to fish, you start seeing readings, and not just up in the water, on the bottom also. And this goes for makos as well as threshers. You start reading bait on the bottom, and you know, things like that, just start paying attention. Before I mentioned the slicks, not just threshers cause slicks. All kinds of sharks and all kinds of fish they eat cause oil to rise, and when they're eating, the oil comes to the top. So slicks, smells, use your nose. Use all your senses when you get out there. You start smelling, something smells fishy, and it's not you or the guy next to you, there's a good possibility there's something in the area. You know, so, I mean, all your senses can help you mako fishing. It's just that, there's a lot of different methods. We can go into this for hours as far as little things to do. But the most important thing is to be shark fishing. Number one is fishing where a shark is. Mm-hmm. And by finding structure and finding your bait, dockside intel, those kind of things will all help you be successful and find the right area to bait.
Al, your ideal mako setup. You know, there's fish around. What are you doing? Mm-hmm. What are you doing?
Well, I mean, as far as a rig.
Yeah, your mako game.
My number one favorite mako bait to start, it will be deployed with anything, is a nice large squid and a small strip of some kind of a mackerel or bluefish. That's my all-time favorite.
Mm-hmm.
A bunker and a squid also. A squid with a hat, we call it. That's putting a bunker out with the squid. That is my first deployed bait, and it's usually, a lot of times I'll fish two, but that is in the bite zone, which is my thermocline, which I read on my fish finder, mm-hmm. which at this time of year should usually be, you know, if you're fishing 180, if you're fishing 30 fathom, your thermocline always starts showing between about 6 to 10 fathoms down, which is, you know, 25 to 60 feet will be your normal thermocline. Your bait should be, one bait should definitely be above that. Mm-hmm. One should be in it or just below it. And depending on your speed of your drift, it will determine what kind of weight you need to stay there. You know, if you're drifting a knot and a half, well, you're going to need 8 to 10 ounces to keep it where you need it, where you want it. And, obviously if it's less than, you know, you want to use the less amount of weight you can get away
sure.
with. That way the fish doesn't feel any kind of anything that might tip your hand.
Right now, Captain Crew, you mentioned a thresher bite can sometimes or most of them be tentative. The take of a mako. Mako's hungry. Mako's pissed. What do you expect?
Well, a hungry fish mako is 9 times out of 10 is going to run away from you. You know, and that usually I usually find that in direct correlation with another one showing up. You know, as we said earlier, you know, mm-hmm. competition sparks a lot of bites. But, you know, again, guys, don't forget the first bite with the circle hook regulations. It's very circle hooks are made to catch a fish when the line is tight, that the fish swallows the line and then rolls through its stomach and finds the corner of the mouth. If you don't keep a circle hook tight in a fish's mouth, you'll be very frustrated mm-hmm. at the amount of fish you hook. And by starting the boat, a lot of times you have to create the tension. By you, I mean the captain running the boat has to keep
right.
the tension.
Mm-hmm.
on the fish to keep the certain, you know, to keep it engaged. Once it's locked, once he's hooked good, well, then, you know, that then is a little more forgiving. But the initial hookup with a circle hook has been a little tricky, to say the least, because a lot of times makers don't just bite and run away. A lot of times they bite and they swim around with it in their mouth and run at you. They'll do a lot of things. So everybody should
right.
be constantly watching, you know, watching your floats, watching your rod tips if you're fishing that way. You know, there's little indications that you're getting a bite sometimes before it actually happens, before you hear the real screaming.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Now, Al, when they do go airborne, and they've I've seen them go airborne, like boom, 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 boom. The angler's doing what? I mean,
well, I'd like to say you'd be bowing to him, say like you were to tarpon. You've heard that a million times about tarpon fishing, that kind of thing. But that's not. That's because a tarpon has such a hard mouth when he's doing his head shakes. The hooks aren't always, you know. And usually a mako's jump, everybody's kind of standing in awe when he jumps up. So to tell him you got, and it happens so fast that very seldom have I seen, almost never have I seen the line, the hook come loose on a jump. However, I have seen a few times the mako landing on the line, coming in wrapped in it when he jumps, and that's often disastrous. Nothing really good can come of that, and there's really nothing an angler or a captain can do about that, other than keeping the line tight. And even then, you know, that's just something that they do. You know, we make us get away, guys. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. Be prepared for that. You know, don't make it the end of your world when one gets away, because your world will end soon.
Aptly said, Captain Crew. So you're Captain Al Cordelli, Bayhound Charters. Topic threshers. Now we're talking makos. Al, we have about 8-9 minutes left in this segment. Very important. Very important, as we've stressed, the end game. I mean, that is it. Tutti finuti, yes. Al finale. So go into this with the importance of it and what to do, what not, more specifically, crew, what not to do. Thresher, mako, go.
One thing not to do, guys, is to go out unaware of the current regulations and size limits. They're a little difficult right now. They're a little difficult to interpret. Mako sharks are, they have to be sexed. A male has to be 73 inches. A female has to be 83 inches. So this being said, not only do you have to measure accurately both sides, you also have to kind of roll them over and see whether you see claspers or other sexual organs first. The clasper makes that a male, and he can be 73 inches. The female has no claspers, and it has to be 83 inches. So that being said, my measuring device on the boat, I use a piece of poly, aptly marked for the 6 foot and seven, excuse me, for six foot and 7 foot marks with tape. And on the end of the poly rope, I use a tennis ball, punch through a tennis ball, so that everything floats as the boat's moving ahead. Mm-hmm. You can slide everything out the back. The tennis ball closes everything. The poly will stay on top. The tennis ball will stay on top. You don't have to worry about running it over, that kind of thing, with propellers. And you can get a fairly accurate measurement that way. While all that's being done, preparing out my unless it's a tournament that specifies otherwise, my sharks become boat side. They get double tapped. What kind of weapon you care to use, that's up to you. That's a whole other topic of conversation. I prefer a handgun, much easier to control in a bouncy ocean, a lot less barrel to look down, and you can place a barrel right on its head practically and let them have it. You don't need anything too powerful. Everybody wants to use something they can blow a ship in half with, and that's not necessary. Shotguns, anything you have to shoulder can tend to be a little dangerous to see when you're rocking, and if it happens to get into a low light situation, trying to look down a barrel and find a bead or whatever is very difficult. Then, where with a handgun, it's self-explanatory, a lot easier. So, I use a 22 Winchester Magnum. It does it. It does the trick more than anything. A 38 is a good weapon too. Not necessary to have a 44 or 45, but if that's all you have, maybe that'll certainly work. But the shot end. Again, this is not IGFA legal. Shooting it is not legal IGFA. It has a flying gaff has to be used.
Right.
Not even a harpoon. A harpoon is definitely a very good end game weapon. They acquire a little bit more effort by the gaff man. A perfect place to any flat or any project shark is to shove it through its gill rake. Guys, not in the back, not in the belly, not in the head.
Okay.
So wait patiently for your shot and stab the harpoon through the shark's gill plates. If you want, you would really ideally like to see it go through and through. You would like to have the harpoon head come out the other side of the gills. If you do that, he's yours. I mean, there's going to be a lot of blood. But he's not going to come loose. Flying gaff is what's IGFA legal, and if you're in a tournament, that's unless other specifies other rules specify, that's what you're going to need. Flying gaff is a fulcrum effect, guys. It's not used like a normal gaff where you reach out and the gaff facing down. A flying gaff point is up. You allow the shark or the animal to slide onto the tip of the gaff while you're raising at the same time.
Uh-huh.
If you attempt to reach out and pick with a flying gaff, it will not. First of all, it'll bounce off repeatedly because the tip of the flying gaff is kind of pointed differently than a straight gaff, which is, again, meant to be gaff face down. With a flying gaff, the point is up so that the fish swims into it. The fulcrum effect dislodges the flying head, the head from the flying gaff, and his body weight. That my favorite place to use that is underneath the throat, directly on the notch in the V in the back of his jaws. You aim for there, you're going to get somewhere in that area that is going to do a lot of damage. Where, again, you want to, if you're not going to shoot them, or even if you do, sometimes a shot and a proper gaff placement all coincide with killing him very easily. Once he's done going crazy, you have him fastened to the boat from either the fly or the harpoon. And tail rope. Once you have his tail out of the water, the shark can only twist. He can't drive, he can't swim, he can't pull away from you.
Mm-hmm.
His motor's out of the water. Okay, now, that's easier said than done a lot of times, especially when it comes to the thresher. Because as you said earlier, if it's a 6-foot thresher, he's going to have 6-foot of tail. Guys, you don't want to get slapped by a thresher's tail.
Al, can I interrupt you for a second?
Sure.
Listen, sure. Please, Al, this is so critical because the one boat we were on, Al, the thresher was brought through the transom, okay, which shot was theoretically dead. Now, these things have been, I guess, millions of years they've been around. They have just the incredible vitality of all primitive organisms. They've mastered what they are designed to
survival.
Do. They just,
exactly.
They can, they're like the reptiles, like the crocodiles. Stuff. They don't know they're dead. We had this thresher owl was brought through the transom, packed in ice on the side, wet towels on back on the side. Two guys were kneeling. They were looking at something on the deck, a map or whatever. Al, this thresher's tail came around. Captain Pete, if you're out there, I remember this, and I know you remember it. Hit this cabin right behind the head. Al Danner knocked him out.
Yeah,
and that thing,
he didn't.
Yeah, and I mean, face down, boom, right there on the teak. And Al, I'll tell you, it wasn't a pretty sight. And that fish was theoretically, expired. Not.
Yeah.
So it's a tough thing. What, the mouth, yes. On the mega, absolutely. Thresher with the tail, as Captain Al says, you don't want to get hit with that.
Now, what we do on every mega, or excuse me, every thresher that comes on our boat side, if it's being killed, once it's under control, a loop around the tail, and then the rope, the end of the rope that you looped around the tail gets tied around his dorsal fins. His pec fins.
Pecs, yep.
You bend them over, bend it around. The pec fins will hold the rope in place and pull it down as tight as you can. It'll still move. You're not going to be able to pin it there, but it'll stop it from doing any serious, once it gets momentum, that's 6-7 feet, whatever it is, of nothing but hard bone cartilage. And it will do some serious damage. I mean,
So Al, again, you're not in a tournament situation. Mako and thresher, delicious. In fact, listeners, coming up, well, a little surprise on that. What's what do you do, Al? Want to preserve that meat? What's the dealio?
Well, if you have a long, obviously the time of your ride is going to be the most important. If you have a couple hour ride, again, you're taking the time to take this fish from the ocean. Let's take care of it. A small cut. If you're not in a tournament, you don't need to wait. The mako's guts can be released while it's being tied over the side. It's a lot easier to lift in the boat when you don't have anything in its stomach because you lose quite a bit of weight. And you can pack the belly with ice. Wrap it with a towel. What we do is we pack the belly. Don't always have to make a giant cup, but you can pack the belly with ice and then wrap the. You can also pour it down his throat, but then again, you're messing with the wrong end of the shark at sea.
So
I would prefer you use the opposite end. And I'll pack it up, and you'll be surprised how fast the meat from the inside out cools. It's a great way to preserve it inside. And as you said, they're great eating, so they deserve to be taken care of.
Al, the sharks on the scale things, the yellowfin, that incredible yellowfin bite last year, I think that's, I don't know if that'll ever be repeated. You know, and the bluefin and the big eye and, you know, the marlin, the white marlin, the tornas, the whole thing. Sharks seem to, it's just a little, okay, that's here right now. But I don't know. I think they deserve a lot more recognition as a great game fish they are. What do you think?
Well, there's no doubt about their strength and the pulling power of any kind of a shark. I mean, we know that, you know, unfortunately they get a bad rap. I mean, you know, it all started with Peter Benchley. 1976, yeah. And from then on, you know, Jaws brought a lot of attention to these guys. But you know, that being said, you know, we're up against a pretty serious federal moratorium. I think we're going to be seeing, you know, especially since the areas where makos have been proven to be bred in the upper South Atlantic has been closed. We've seen a resurgence in smaller makos and that kind of thing. So they're showing the regulations work. So I do believe in some of the things I've heard and some of the things I've been involved in lately, a couple of surveys and things like that, that I do believe that there's going to be a moratorium fairly soon, which it's going to, you know, it's difficult now to catch one legal. You know, really, we've only killed two in the last 3 years. We released probably two dozen. Because of regulations, but yeah. I really don't have any problem with that because we certainly deserve to give them a break. They are getting a little worked at, but it doesn't mean you can't have fun with catching them. You know,
absolutely.
And releases, we didn't really mention it. You know, as safely as you possibly can, reach down and you know, no matter what kind of shark it is, get as close as you can to the shark's mouth where you cut the leader. Obviously don't put yourself in any kind of danger, guys, but try to don't make him run, swim around until that leash rots out of his mouth. You know, it's always a bummer to see.
There you go. So, well said, Captain Al.
You can.
Captain Al, do me a favor. We're up against heartbreak. Sure. Give that phone number, Captain Al Crudelli, Bayhound Charters. Captain Al Crudelli, the third. He's the man.
It is 609-602-2662. Anybody interested in giving it a shot? I have a couple of openings in the next week or two, the next couple of weeks. I'm more than happy to get you out.
Captain Crew, thanks for joining us on Rack Event. As always, wait, before everything going, how's mom?
Everybody's great. The dog and the
Sandy
and mom,
girl.
Well.
How is Sandy girl?
She's waiting for the fall so we can get you back out there.
Okay, Cap, you take care, man. Best to everyone.
Thanks, Dick.
A little long on that break. A little long on that segment, rather. Everybody's a break. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5 FM and 1450 AM. South Jersey's number one talk station.
Fox News. I'm Carmen Roberts. Two mass shootings overnight in Texas and in Georgia. At least 12 people are injured in Austin, one critically. Police are on the scene and urging people to stay away from the downtown area. Meantime, in Savannah, police say one person was shot and killed and eight injured, including two children. And Democrats are fuming after revelations the Trump administration's Justice Department secretly obtained phone data of people connected to the Russia investigation.
House Intelligence Committee members Adam Schiff and Eric Swalwell say they were notified by Apple that under the Trump administration, the Justice Department subpoenaed Apple for information about them. The New York Times says this was part of a leak investigation.
Fox's Jessica Rosenthal. Microsoft confirms it received similar subpoenas. America's listening to Fox News.
Your WPG Talk Radio 95.5 AccuWeather forecast for South Jersey. For today, sunshine and some clouds, a high 74. Tonight, cloudy. Watch for a thunderstorm late, low 58. Sunday, clouds and some sun, the high for tomorrow, 76. Tomorrow night, low 62. Some sun on Monday with a high 80. And Tuesday afternoon thunderstorms, high 83. I'm AccuWeather's Andy Raub on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Download Rack and Fin Radio as a podcast on the WPG Talk Radio app. Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Captain Al Crudelli, the third Bayhound Charters. We're talking threshers and we talked makos. Now, here is the extra treat. Joining us, we mentioned how delicious, how great eating both of these sharks are, is return from just a few weeks ago. Executive Chef Phil Tritola, Mystic Meats and Seafood, and Mystic Lobster Roll Company with a supreme Mako / Thresher recipe. Chef Phil, thanks for joining us on Rack and Fin. How you been, man?
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thanks for having me again.
Hey, I'm salivating on these Mako and Thresher steaks, man. So what do we got? What do we got, Chef?
I got really excited for you when you told me that you were doing a show on Thresher. It's one of my favorite things out of that ocean to eat and cook. So we're going to do a nice little basic blackened Thresher steak.
Ooh, I'm liking that.
And what I want to show your listeners, anyone can go to the store and get some blackened seasoning. I'm actually going to show them how simple it is to make one yourself.
Okay, let's go.
So, yeah, absolutely. Small mixing bowl, couple tablespoons of either smoked paprika or regular paprika is fine. 1 tablespoon of cayenne pepper. 1 tablespoon of a little onion powder. These are all teaspoons. Garlic powder, ground black pepper, mm-hmm. sea salt, a little bit of dried basil, dried oregano, and just a speck of dried thyme. Now, I switch it up a little bit, and I actually put a teaspoon of brown sugar and a teaspoon of cinnamon.
So whoa. Brown sugar and cinnamon in a blackened recipe? Get out!
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Oh, I'm loving it, man.
It's an amazing combination, one of the best combinations you ever have in your life. Mix that really good. Get your fingers in there. Make sure all those spices and salts mix really nice together. Take a little olive oil. I want you to rub the steak a little bit on both sides and just pat on the spice on both sides, all the way around it. Get that piece of fish all covered, ready to go. If they have an iron skillet, that's the best thing. You know, I love my iron skillets.
Oh, yeah.
Put that iron skillet on the stove, a little pat of butter, a little vegetable oil, and you get that nice and hot. Let that sit for about 2 minutes, and you take that steak with that blackened spice on it, and you let that sear for about 2 minutes on each side.
Now, Phil, we're generally talking with a Thresher Mako, about an inch thick, 3/4 inch thick. Is that about right?
The average size is about an inch thick, correct? A little thicker is okay. And a quarter, inch and a half, if you can find a nice size. 3/4 is good, too. But an inch is pretty much what you're going to get if the local fishmonger cuts it for you.
Okay, now you said 2 minutes per side?
2 minutes on each side. You want to sear that blackened spice into the fish really, really nice. 2 minutes on each side. You get that oven preheated to 375, and you put it in there for about 10 to 12 minutes, and you are good to go.
Now,
this is one of my all-time favorite things to make.
Now, Phil, it's in the oven. You put anything, any lemon or anything on it, just strictly the blackened seasoning, is itsky?
That is all you need. No lemon, no butter, no nothing. Blackened seasoning and just that fish itself. One of the nice things about Thresher fish and Mako and all the, you know, the swords of the sea, this is the steak. You're eating the filet mignon of the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
You're eating the steak from the ocean. So you know how the old saying, what do you put on a steak in the restaurant? Salt and pepper, that's it.
That's it.
And that's put on this fish right here.
Joining us online is Chef Phil Tritola, Mystic Meats and Seafood and Mystic Lobster Roll Company. They're based out of Ship Bottom. Well, okay, now, Chef Tritola, with this supreme blackened Mako or Thresher or listeners, even swordfish steak, what do you got with it?
Nice asparagus tips. Roll the asparagus tips, a little Parmesan cheese, a little olive oil, and you throw them right in that pan. As soon as you take that fish and you put it in the oven, do not wash that pan out. You're going to take your asparagus and you're going to roll it in that pan, and you're going to cook it al dente. About 4 to 5 minutes.
Okay.
And just continue to roll them around. You're going to get a nice crisp on them because that's going to enhance the blackened spice that's already on your fish. And now that's going to transport to your asparagus. Throw a little butter in there.
Oh, man.
A little olive oil. Get that hot again. And roll that butter and that oil and the rest of those spices
all through
those asparagus.
You're killing me, Tritola. You're effing killing me, man. Now, what about a garden salad to go with that, Phil?
Absolutely. A nice little, like a spring mix goes well with that.
Mm-hmm.
A little lemon vinaigrette.
squeeze a little lemon, nice little olive oil on top, dust it up with some salt and pepper, and you're good to go.
Let me tell you something.
Nice Jersey tomato.
So, and there's only one. Listen, I'm interrupting the chef here. I could be. I'm sorry for being rude, but you know it's Tom P. Listen to me. There's only one dessert now in our entire dessert spectrum. Man, it's down to two, and they're both ice cream based. And Phil, go into those Grand Slam ice cream desserts again.
Amazing lobster vanilla ice cream. I know that sounds probably out of this world to a lot of your listeners right now, but it actually is. An incredibly good mix because the vanilla bean ice cream has such a strong vanilla flavor that it doesn't mask the lobster. It enhances the sweetness of the lobster. And a company called Woohoo, who is based in Beach Haven and beautiful Long Beach Island, has joined partners with Mystic Lobster Roll Company creating this ice cream. Really, really dynamite. They have taken two rolls and transformed our two lobster rolls into lobster ice cream. And outstanding.
And Phil, by the way, great reviews. Shout out to Bonnie and Chef Dina, Piccalillian, Route 2 in Chemung. Phil, you're going to be hearing from them, man. They have some ideas for that ice cream that'll make your tongue slap your brains out, brother.
Excited. Can't wait.
Okay, Phil, a good libation to go with the black and mako and asparagus. What do you got?
For dessert?
No, a libation. A libation. Libation what? Nation.
Delicious. There's only one thing that goes with this, and that's a very, very dark beer or a stout, a nice amber bock, nice Samuel Adams amber bock, a triple bock, triple stout, a wheat-based beer, something nice and heavy and dark to enhance that deep flavor that this steakfish is going to give you the pressure.
It's got me going. Let's just go to the Rack and Fin Radio podcast, get a chance to write it down and record the Rack and Fin Radio podcast on that. It'll be posted right after the show is on. Captain Phil, the show is over, rather. Just a great recipe again. But Tritola, I expect no less, is the official chef of Rack and Fin Radio? What's the deal here?
I love it. I absolutely love it. I'm honored. Thank you.
Well, Phil, do me a favor. You take care and just keep up with these great creations. I have about a minute left in this break. Give us the lowdown now on the Mystic Lobster Roll Company and the great Mystic Meats and Seafood in the Ship Bottom. They're all over the place now.
We're very fortunate. We have about, right now, 11 active locations with Mystic Lobster Roll Company in three states. We're in Florida, New Jersey, and New York. And, of course, my first love, Mystic Meat and Seafood Market in Ship Bottom, and also a secondary location, Mystic Meat and Seafood Market in Tuckerton on Route 9.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me tell you something about the Ship Bottom location, Tritola. Okay, he opens at 11 o'clock. Okay, let me get there. But pull in. Whoa, one parking spot left, Phil. What's that all about? My own. you had him in there. Okay, Phil, you take care. Best to everyone. Thanks again. Incredible recipe. Listeners, blackened mako steak works with thresher, works with sword. You're going to love it. Phil, you take care, man. Have a good weekend.
Tom, you as well. Thank you.
See you later, man. Oh, man, Or is it easy to go buy a swordfish steak? I don't know. Okay. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio. Some fishing reports if we have time. Coming up.
So what is Talk with a Purpose? It's a lively, informative, number one rated talk show on Saturday morning. Hi, this is John DeMasi. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 9 a.m. till noon for Talk with a Purpose. Heard right here on WPG Talk Radio 95.5. And if you miss it on Saturday, we replay it on Sunday from 5 until 8 p.m. Don't miss Talk with a Purpose, Saturday and Sunday, right here on WPG Talk Radio 95.5, South Jersey's talk station.
At Home Recreation, New Jersey's largest swimming pool, spa, and patio stores are ready to go with all your backyard pool needs for the summer. Pools, patio furniture, all in stock and ready to go. Huge selection and low start of summer pricing. They have chlorine. They have pools. They have patio sets and backyard seating groups in stock, ready to go. In addition, At Home Recreation is offering 12 months free financing or a free in-pool light with your pool purchase. They are fully stocked with pool equipment and pool toys to help your backyard resort be its best. At Home Recreation has a wide selection of e-bikes at summer sale pricing. Do not wait. Hurry in today. At Home Recreation at Route 18 North in East Brunswick, Highway 36 in Hazlitt, Route 88 Brick and Bay Avenue in Manahawkin. They have chlorine. They have pools. They have patio sets and backyard seating groups in stock, ready to go. Visit athomerecreation.com for a store store near you. That's athomerecreation.com.
Thanks for calling 1-800-GOT-JUNK. This is Sarah. How can I help?
I've been thinking.
What have you been thinking about?
Decluttering.
And what did you decide?
I decided I should do it a lot more often.
Well, you definitely called the right number.
I decided I should declutter more often because it's an important part of a balanced and healthy life.
Oh? Tell me more.
We shower regularly to get rid of what we've accumulated.
Yes.
And we cut our hair to get rid of what we've accumulated.
Yes.
And there are other important things we do just to get rid of what we've accumulated.
Have you ever noticed that 1-800-GOT-JUNK has a question mark at the end of it?
Yes, I have noticed that.
We make junk disappear.
All I have to do is point.
All you have to do is point.
Can you come right now?
We're on our way.
Call 1-800-GOT-JUNK or visit 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Yeah, wrapping up Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of June 12th and 13th. That was Captain Al Cardelli earlier talking Mako's Talking Threshers. Executive Chef Phil Tritola talking Mako and Thresher and Swordfish. Blackened in that pan, but let's get to the tuna bite. Now, the blitz of weather this weekend, not looking good. And even in a Monday, not looking too hot. Now, the Reezer, the Atlantic Princess, bluefin's supposed to be all over at the Reezer, or at the Triple Rex. Guys looking all over the place. Not much going on. So, put in a call to a very special guest, Captain Rick Sloom, out there, Creekside Outfitters, Route 9 in Weartown. This man is on the tuna like white on rice. Captain Rick, how's it going, brother?
What's going on, Tom P?
We're looking for tuna next week. Next bluefin, Rick. What do we got?
I'm thinking next week after the blow, we got this northeast blowing in. I think that the warm water eddies are going to come in. I think the hot spots are going to be the Reezer, possibly Ollie's Lump. I look towards the ridge, and I think next week we're going to have some northwest wind. It's looking like maybe Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So I'd turn your attention that direction and start looking for those warm water eddies. And I think the bite's going to turn on. I think the troll bite's going to be good. Use your chatter lures, your spreader bars,
bingo,
cedars, and go with it. That's the way I'm looking. Maybe butterfly jigging towards the end of the week, but you got to find them first.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Captain Rick, the jigging and popping game going to be relative next week towards the end?
I think it is. Once we find the bait in the warm water eddies, it's all a matter of finding first. Once we find them, we'll get them.
Now, Captain Rick, size of the bluefins that you're hearing about, you know, the giant thing way back in April and May, they shut that down. I'm hearing everything from footballs to overs. What's the dealio?
That's what I'm hearing myself, Tom. I think it's going to be the slot fish is going to be the one that you're going to be looking for. The overs are going to be over, and the unders are going to be under. So I'm hoping to find the ones that are going to fit in that slot limit, them two fish limits still there. So hopefully the guys who are out trolling are able to get those in.
Okay, Captain Rick from Creekside Outfitters, Route 9 Air, Weartown. Thanks for joining us. Listeners, Bluefin Tuna Prospectus, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Captain Rick said it's going to happen. It is going to happen. That's why he's on Rack and Fin Radio. Rick, we'll see you next week, man. Take care.
All right, Tom Pete. Thank you.
See you. Yeah, man, it's bluefin time. Hey, man, I heard from Captain Lou Van Berg and Ms. Barnicot Light up there. In Barnicot Light, there's a 2001 Bay Avenue. Now, the fluke has been picky, but picking up on a better side, some fish up to 5.5 pounds being caught, and they're doing very well on the sea bass. So there's plenty of fish out there in the back bays as well. Okay, and you'd be surprised at some of the size of fish we're seeing. And check it out. The gulp peeler crab is just knocking the snot out of the fluke. And that'll do it for this week on Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Get out there and enjoy. Weather's going to suck for the next couple of days, but that's all right, man. Your feet hit the hardwood in the morning. It's a good day. God bless America. God bless our troops. God bless our law enforcement and first responders. See you next week. Rack and Fin Radio.
95.5 FM and